When I was a boy, I wanted to be a policeman in my community, to wear a star and a uniform, and have a car with a big loud horn. This was the life for me, I thought, back when I was a boy. I went to school and studied hard. I wanted to learn the rules to guard. When I grew up, they let me in and gave me a place as one of them. I had reached my lifelong plan to become a policeman. My first real job was the big convention the Democrats held for their nomination. There was trouble expected, we knew, from hippies and yippies and communists too. They'd take over and vowed they would. They were after our blood. The hippies were dirty, the yippies were vile. The commies were there to keep them riled. The mayor didn't want Chicago ruined, and that's what they were intent on doing. They hate America and all that's good, but they call it love. They raised the flag of the Viet Cong. How could these kids have gone so wrong? To aid the Cong who's killing their brothers, destroying us from within our borders. They hit us in waves with their weapons of war. With spikes, bottles, blades, our flesh they tore. We herded them on down Michigan Ave. It's a good thing riot equipment we had. We were trained to handle such mobs. That is part of our job. Police brutality was their moan, joined by announcers for the viewers at home. They know police have got to go, so their leaders can seize control. We do our job the best we can as Chicago policemen. Your help to the police is really needed if the laws are to be heeded. Mobs like these we can't let roam to ruin our country, churches and homes. Americans all across the land, support your local policeman.
Thank you. We're back with another episode of The Eternal Now. My name is Andy Ortman. We're just listening to Jason Krumer from the CD Walk With Me. The name of that song, Sexual Artifacts. And we started that off with Burgess Harry, Chicago policeman. Lord knows I see a lot of those every day. And who knows, one day I might even be one. Anyway, up next, from Germany, from the early 80s, Nichts.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
some lovely, lovely, lovely music. We just heard a track from Andrew Lyles entitled Crash. That was from a sampler CD on Beta Lactam Ring. Mutant Sounds for Mutant People. That was an exclusive track. Before that, collaboration of Barton McLean and saxophonist Albert Reggie. Dimensions 3 and 4 was from 1980. And just before that, Flying Luttenbachers with an album titled Revenge from 1996. The name of that track, Murder Machine Music. And we started the set off with Nix with a song Radio. And the weather is much, much nicer today than it was last week. A cool 60 degrees. Sunny. A bit blustery, but pleasant nonetheless. Speaking of pleasant, up next, Hans Krusel's Cranking Cabinet from a cassette titled Candy Coated Terror. You are listening to WFMU.org.
big fans. Some call it free sound. Others prefer to include it in the psychedelic wave of isms already circulating around the Western Hemisphere. But this music, here and now, is that of the Pink Floyd, a group of four young musicians, a light man, and an array of equipment sadistically designed to shatter the strongest nerves. The Pink Floyd are new on the London scene. They've stupefied audiences at all-night raves, in church halls, at the Albert Hall, and on various tours in Britain. They've yet to make their debut on records. But perhaps the Pink Floyd themselves are most qualified to tell you what it's all about.
We didn't start out trying to get anything new. It entirely happened. We originally started virtually as an R&B group.
Yeah.
Sometimes we just sort of let loose a bit and started hitting the guitar a bit harder and not worrying quite so much about the chords.
It stopped being sort of third-rate academic rock, you know. It started being sort of intuitive groove, really.
It's free form. In sort of terms of construction, it's almost like jazz, where you start off with a riff and then you improvise on it, except it, to some extent, the improvisation.
Well, it differs from jazz, is that if you're improvising around a jazz number, if it's a 16-bar number, you stick to 16-bar choruses. You take 16-bar solos. Whereas with us, it starts and we may play three choruses of something that lasts for 17 and a half bars each chorus. And then it will start happening. And it'll stop happening when it stops happening, and it may be 423 bars later, or four.
And it's not like jazz music, because we
all want to be pop stars, we don't want to be jazz musicians.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, we play for people to dance to. They don't seem to dance much now, but that's the initial idea. So we play loudly, and we're playing with electric guitars. So, we're utilising all the volume and all the affection we get.
But now, in fact, we're trying to develop this using the light.
Yes, of course.
But the thing about the jazz thing is that we don't have this great musician thing, you know. We don't really look upon ourselves as musicians as such, you know, period. Reading the dots from where it starts.
How important is the visual aspect of the production?
Very, very, very important. It's quite a revelation to have people operating something like lights while you're playing, as a direct stimulus to what you're playing. It's rather like audience reaction, except it's on a higher level, you need to respond to it, and then the lights will respond back.
There are various sorts of lights. There's simply flashing spotlights that are worked off a sort of control board, rather like a piano, so that they can do this very rhythmically. And then there are a sort of effect lights that are usually coloured slides or wet slides, which are slides with some sort of liquids on them so that you get some movement. Or they might be actual moving stuff, in which case, as they have their own set speed and sequence that can't be altered by the operators. This changes the formation to some extent, because we tend immediately to play to that.
What happens at a performance? What happens with your audience? What's the feeling?
Well, if we get very excited, and we get very excited when we're playing very well, then the audience gets very excited as well.
They
may dance. It depends upon the sort of number and what's happening.
Yeah, and anyway, you hardly ever get the sort of dancing right from the beginning that you get just as a response to the rhythm. Usually people stand there, and if they sort of work themselves into some sort of hysteria while they're there.
Yes, the dancing takes the form of a frenzy, which is very good.
They don't all stand in a line and do the medicine. The audience, they tend to be standing there, just one or two people maybe, sort of flip out and rush forward, start leaping up and down.
Freak out, I think, is probably the word they're searching for.
It's an excellent thing, because it's what dancing is.
This is really what dancing is.
Is this then the music destined to replace the Beatles? Are the melodic harmonies, poetic lyrics, and soulful rhythms of today to be swept into the archives, totally undermined by a psychotic sweep of sound and vision such as this, displayed by the Pink Floyd? Large pockets of enthusiasts from all over the country are determined that it shall, despite the powerful opposition of the majority of leading disc jockeys. But the most enthusiastic fans of all, quite fittingly, are the Pink Floyd's managers. Let's say in terms of recordings.
I think our records will be very different from our stage shows. I think our records inevitably, first of all, there's a 3-minute limitation. Secondly, you can't sort of walk around the kitchen humming to the Pink Floyd. I mean, if you had a Pink Floyd sort of sound they're making in the clubs coming over the radio while you're doing the washing up, you'd probably scream. I suspect that our records are bound to have to be much more audio, much more, you know, they are written for a different situation. Listening to a gramophone record in your home or on the radio, it's very different from going into a club or into a theatre and watching a stage show. They're two different things. It requires a different approach. We think we can do both.
With Robin Gristle, and unfortunately the Derby paper just puts TG, but we hope you all know who it was. Thanks.
The 105mm tank gun fired from an M60 main battle tank. The M40A1 106mm recoilless rifle. The 155mm self-propelled howitzer. The armored personnel carrier flamethrower, M132. The 7.62mm machine gun. The caliber 50 machine gun. The 40mm grenade launcher. The SS-11 anti-tank guided missile weapon subsystem fired from the UH-1B utility helicopter. Thank you.
and waking up on gray mornings, you dream of loving one whole night through, but with who? One whole night through. Whether you're a violent seed, a kinky cat, a blue love kid, anyone in bed, that time, that is a schwenk. So many days when you're hurting, you don't know why you feel like crying, and you dream of loving one whole night through, but with who? And you draw a heart that's hooked on the page of your pupil book. Well, then you've written it. Yes, you did. That girl next door, she's got a guy. But I'm alone to skateboard and surf. And I'm dreaming of loving one whole night through. But with who? One whole life through. But with who?
So, yeah, you probably figured that out. Jodie Foster. Right there. And her French isn't much better than mine. 1977, and just before Jodie was throbbing, Gristle with Weapon and Training from a double LP, The Psychic Sacrifice from 1979. In front of that, a Pink Floyd interview with Tim Blake mixed on top of it. An improvisation live in Orsay from 1978. And we started that set off with Hans Grusel's Cranking Cabinet. You are listening to The Eternal Now on WFMU.org. Up next, this is a now defunct duo, Binges. Thank you. a pleasant and relaxing piece that was by Keith Fullerton Whitman. Apparently played on acoustic guitar somehow. Perhaps not. Maybe I'm reading too much into it. That could very well be. Mind Flayer from Providence, Rhode Island, circa 2003. Neither World's Bike Patrol. And just in front of that was Jack Shit from an untitled CDR of an untitled 10 CDR box set from 1999. The name of that track, Do the Body Dump. And we started that set off with Binge's Flame of the Millennium CDR. Up next, to keep in the stride of things, Ernst Carroll from a CDR, Fern Room, from the liner notes. Fern Room is a stereo version of what originally a four-channel installation in the Fern Room of the Lincoln Park Conservatory, Chicago, from the 8th of November 2001. You don't need to know that. Ernst Carroll. That was Dominic Frontier from the 1960s Outer Limits TV show soundtrack. Just before that, Ernst Carroll with Fern Room. And this is the end for me for the Eternal Now this week. My name's Andy Ortman. Thank you for listening. And I will see you again next week. Goodbye. WFMU.org.